And from there.
Sounds good.
If you own or manage a trucking company, many of your customers are facing increased pressure to disclose more detailed greenhouse gas emissions data. If you have large shippers as customers and they haven't asked you yet about your fleet's Scope 3 emissions, chances are they will. I'm Deborah Lockridge, editor and associate publisher at Heavy Duty Trucking, and with me today to talk about this topic is Chantelle Cruzy. She's Assistant Vice President of Sustainability and Sales Operations for Werner Enterprises. Werner, by the way, was an HDT Top Green Fleet last year. It's committed to reducing its greenhouse gas emissions by 55% by 2035. Welcome, Chantelle.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Those are some pretty ambitious emissions goals. One of the things that I know was kind of new to me just the past couple of years is this talk about Scope 3 emissions. Can we just start off and kind of tell us briefly what are Scope 3 emissions?
Well, I always think when I define scope three, I need to kind of put it into perspective of scope one and scope two. So, if you think about trucking companies, scope one is really the direct emissions of our Class 8 trucks, the company vehicles we own. And so for trucking companies, that's been predominantly where we have been spending a lot of our time and attention is on our scope one reductions and plans to re reduce those emissions. Scope two is the indirect purchased energy. So kind of think about it like the electricity that you purchase at all the different terminals that you have across your network. And then scope three, I mean, the simple definition is it's everything else. So it's indirect emissions, both upstream and downstream in the whole supply chain process. And so it's complicated. There are a lot of different categories as you think through your business and what you would include in terms of the activities of your company. So, examples like, what's happening with the capital that you spend in terms of emissions, right? On the upstream side. On the downstream side, like an example would be what's the transportation of your associates, of your employees, right? What are the emissions that are caused on driving back and forth to work, that kind of thing? So there are a lot of different activities, as you can imagine, that would fall into a scope three definition.
So for your shippers, if they're looking at their scope three, that's basically your scope one, right?
Exactly. And that's why we're a big deal to our customers, is because we're a big part of their scope three.
And I understand there's been one of the reasons that we're hearing more about this is I think California has put in some new rules about them having to disclose more scope three emissions, and I think the SEC has been looking at that as well for publicly traded companies. What are you seeing there?
I think they're still trying to figure it out. California definitely passed legislation that would require reporting. And there are a whole bunch of what I would call kind of contingencies on what needs to be reported and what size of company you need to be and all of that. But kind of the bottom line is that that legislation was passed and it's being challenged. In terms of what ultimately will be required to be reported, but there will be requirements. On the SEC front, I think kind of the consensus opinion is that there's an expectation that the SEC will require some kind of reporting as well. And, I think a lot of the wild card in the conversation on reporting mandates is scope three. Will scope three be required? What part of scope three will be required? Because it is complicated, right? As you think through all those different inputs, that would be required to start measuring, getting good data on that kind of thing.
So, what do you do if a customer comes to you and says, "Hey, I'm gonna have to start looking at these Scope 3 emissions, and I need data from you as my trucking company on, on those emissions." What? How do you even go about starting to figure out how to report that, how to calculate that?
Well, we're ready for them. And we're having lots of conversations just like that. And so I guess what I would say is we want to be engaged with our customers and we want to help them in their efforts to reduce their emissions, right? So I think it's a place with our customers that we have a commonality. We also have company goals. We are in a great position to help our customers in their efforts to surpass reach their goals. And so I guess a couple things of interest, anymore, sustainability has become an important kind of call out in RFPs. So just out of the gate, as kind of a way of doing business, as they're trying to understand our fit with their company culture and needs, right? As they're even assessing who they want to work with, it's very common anymore that they want to understand what our program is, how we think about it, and ultimately, to your question, how we are able to help them with the data. And beyond the data, I think there's a lot of collaborative conversations because there are a lot of different ways that we can work with our customers to reduce their carbon emissions for their business. So, I think it becomes a collaborative conversation beyond data to say, okay, is there an opportunity to use some of the alternative vehicles or alternative fuels? Are there efficiencies we can be looking at to ultimately move less total miles, right? As we think through the engineered network that we offer. And so things like that are really a big deal as we start thinking through what we might be able to do together. And then finally, I want to really answer your question on the data side. We are in a position to provide that data in the format that they need. And I guess, what I've seen is that a lot of our customers, they want it in different frequencies, right? It might be good enough to have it once a year. There are some customers that want it more frequently, as one example. It may be something where they want to know just total, kind of like a total look of their total CO2. And for others, there's a desire to look at it both from a loaded and an empty or by the product that they purchase. So you can imagine it gets kind of complicated pretty quickly as you think through the varying needs of how the customer is going to be able to put that data as part of all this other stuff that they're trying to measure in terms of their Scope 3. So that's just with our diesel trucks. When you start thinking about the electric trucks that we have, some of the other technology and fuels that we're using, of course, the data needs are different. And so I
Right.
think as we think in the future, that's another complexity is you need the diesel option and you may want to have a look in terms of renewable fuels and you might want to also have kind of the kilowatts used on an electric vehicle. And so the units of measure are different. The technologies themselves are different. And so having that ability to distinguish will be important.
So different ways of measuring, different data customers are asking for. Sounds like you'd have to hire an IT team just to handle the emissions requests.
Well, it's a lot of work. But what we've done at Werner that I'm really proud of is a couple different things. So for many years, kind of way before we even published our CSR report and set our public goals, we were disclosing our Scope 1 emissions through the SmartWay program, the EPA
That's right.
SmartWay program. And it's a very popular program. A lot of trucking companies also disclose their information through that entity. And I think that helped make sure that kind of what I would call the basics, right, were being collected. And so kind of fast forward to now, as this complexity increases, it was really important that we were able to get a system where we were able to kind of have a repository to pull all that information together. And so we made an investment to purchase a system that we could have as a repository. And then, you know, we've also done some things to hold ourselves accountable through, you know, the last 3 years, publishing a corporate social responsibility report that helps bring visibility and transparency in terms of our progress. We've also aligned with other frameworks like SASB, which kind of standardizes a lot of these definitions, if you will, right?
Okay. Is that an acronym or?
Yeah, it's basically an acronym for one of the kind of public agencies that tried to standardize how you report your emissions.
Okay.
Right. So it's just one of many, but you know, I think in this area, there's a lot of new words, there's a lot of new definitions. And so it helps kind of standardize how you define many of these things so that when a customer or an investment firm or whoever has an interest, when they look at it, they can say, oh, okay, I'm comparing apples to apples. I know what this means. And so that's kind of the purpose of the grading agencies is that you have a similar definition, right? As you kind of compare and contrast a vertical or peer group, that kind of thing.
I didn't know if there was a particular framework that was more popular than others, or do you just have to sort of be ready to plug that data into various frameworks depending what your customer wants?
Yeah, you know, I do think we've seen that there are some, you know, so you have frameworks and then you have also what I would call purely grading organizations. And you see customers leaning towards some, right? There are some of those that are very popular with customers. I think my advice, you know, as people are thinking like, well, where, if the question was, well, I haven't done this yet, where should I start? You know, I think, you know, what one of the things that we looked at was, what are our customers using, right?
Right.
When we read their corporate social responsibility reports, what are they caring about? And I think it helps make that connection as you start, you know, talking about this with your customers, having similar ways that you're holding yourself accountable, how you're reporting it has been really, really positive.
So Werner has goals to really cut your emissions. What are some of the ways that y'all are doing that?
Yeah. Well, I guess the short answer is we're trying lots of different things.
Uh-huh.
I'm a part of the Innovation Council at Werner. And through that group, kind of across the company, you know, I guess kind of step one and a place where we have been very consistent for a long time is we are very focused on having one of the newest fleets, both tractors and trailers. And of course, that makes a big difference.
Right.
As you think through the technology and the capability to take that technology for reduced emissions. So, you know, I think, you know, if you look of the progress up until this point, a lot of it has been driven toward just the natural progression and technology of diesel trucks. But beyond that, we're testing a variety of different fuels and vehicles. So we have tested hydrogen. We have two active electric trucks that we're using for kind of real business, right? Not drayage. We're moving it in lanes that our customers are actively involved with.
Oh.
And we have plans to bring others on. We've tested aerodynamic features on our trailers, solar as another example. And then, of course, kind of the different fuel blends. So beyond kind of what I would call the truck themselves, Different levels of biodiesel, renewable diesel, renewable natural gas, some of these other what I would call different fuel types, and really understanding how they work, if they still allow us to deliver, an excellent customer experience for our customers, and kind of get a good test of the trade-offs that they
Right.
bring. And so we have been actively doing that. But beyond that, I think, a lot of from a supply chain perspective, it's still, beyond kind of the what I would call the exciting stuff, all the new
Right.
technology, a lot of it is just pure operations and efficiencies. And so how do you take out empty miles, right?
Right.
How do you keep things in engineered networks that help you, have your chance to reduce idling and downtime and that kind of thing. And so I can't stress enough, even those, that bucket of items that are important, have the ability to really move the needle on emissions as well.
So a lot involved.
Yeah, for sure.
Any advice you might have for, obviously Werner has a lot of resources. Advice for maybe smaller fleets that aren't quite sure where to start, but they've got shippers who are asking about it. What advice would you have for them?
Well, I mean, I guess out of the gate, the thing I would say is you got to start somewhere. Don't be overwhelmed. It can feel very overwhelming. And so, step one might be as simple as start having active conversations with your customers. Find out what they want. And there might be a couple steps, right? To say, I can give this to you now. And what you may discover, and we definitely have been on a journey here, is, oh, I got to get this entity. I need to have the way I receive my fuel information sent to me differently, right? As one example. And so you can work through that. And I think, so just start somewhere is a big deal. I think that's the big thing. Have conversations with your customers. It doesn't matter what size you are there. I think the great thing about this area is that this is a place where we can really deliver solutions for our customers, and it's a place of commonality, right? It's a place that we can work together on and help each other as we ultimately work to reduce our respective emissions. I mean, it's a great thing for the companies, but it's even a greater thing for our planet and making sure we're leaving our planet in a better place than what we found it. And so I think there's just a lot of goodness here as you start the conversations. The other thing is that I think from an industry, there are a lot of things that we can also do together, right? As we talk through, kind of some of the lessons learned. There's a lot of places here where it can be very collaborative, even for our industry, as we figure out how we keep on making progress and ultimately, helping our customers reduce their scope three emissions.
All right, great. Well, Chantel, I think we're about out of time. But thank you so much for being our guest on HGT Talks Trucking to talk about scope three emissions and how do you measure them and how do you work with your customers. It's been very informative.
Well, thank you. I really enjoyed it.
All right. And to our reader, our listeners and viewers, thanks for tuning in to HGT Talks Trucking. Make sure to subscribe to your favorite a podcast platform or a YouTube so you don't miss an episode. And that's it.